Hello, hello. Welcome to the End Evil podcast. This is Chris Jansen, and evil is the destruction of freedom. My favorite quote from Jeremy Locke from his book, The End of All Evil. And that book is available on endevil.life on the store tab, as well as my book, The Book That Changed My Life. Both these books are about self-empowerment. They're about recognizing our place in the context of a world that is inundated with evil. People stealing from one another, institutions like governments stealing from all the public. And it's time for us as humanity to recognize these problems and wake up to them and speak out about these problems instead of continually hiding from them and seeking comfort. And on this topic, I'm very excited about today's podcast, today's interview with someone who's I'm deeply honored to be able to speak with, Mark Passio. Has affected the lives of thousands, hopefully more, of people that have been seeking truth, freedom, and moral clarity. Mark Passio's podcast, What on Earth is Happening, has run for almost 300 episodes. Amazing, thought-provoking podcast that for so many of us put all the pieces together and helped us to realize a path forward in this overwhelming problem of spiritual enslavement and real-world enslavement. Mark has empowered his listeners to liberate themselves and others from evil, both internally and externally. He's not just a researcher, he's also a teacher. In the truest sense, Mark has been teaching groups of people every year with his natural law. His How to Become the True Media course. And recently, Mark did this natural law seminar, which really hit me hard. It was fantastic, well done, all day seminar. And I'm hoping we can talk about that. But no more introduction. Let me bring Mark in and we'll let him talk for himself. Thanks for joining me today, Mark.
Chris, thank you so much for the invite. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, that seminar you did, I loved it. I sat there the whole time just kind of like, this is a day for me to reflect, a day for me to ask the hard questions, taking some notes. And I've had things to think about ever since. And so I first wanted to start by thanking you for that seminar, for putting that on. I really appreciated that. It was awesome.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. The shadow work seminar was something that I had planned for a while because I talked a lot about shadow work in my material on What on Earth is Happening. But I never really got into too deeply the methodologies for shadow work, the preparation for it. There's as much preparation in understanding the concepts associated with shadow work as there is actually doing it. And a lot of people jump in, but they're not really prepared. And they also use some methods that are questionable and are not really digging to the heart of the matter, because what real shadow work is about brutal honesty with the self and not making any excuses for shortcomings and inadequacies. And a lot of people don't want to do that, especially when they get into the New Age movement variations of things, the New Age so-called spirituality, which I consider pseudo-spirituality. When you get into New Age variations of shadow work and its techniques, it's not really the real hardcore stuff. It's really things that are going very light on people and making them take too light and too hazy and nebulous of approaches that don't hit the bullseye, that really drop the ball. So I wanted to put something together that had still rudimentary concepts in it, because I'm not saying that this seminar that I just delivered was the most complex thing to understand or contained the most advanced topics or concepts. It's for beginners in shadow work. It's to get the ideas and concepts and techniques out to the public in a way that is readily understood and won't overwhelm people too badly, because it was long. I spoke for 8 hours and 53 minutes total duration. So that's a long seminar. That's an all-day event. Most people would want to break that down into multiple days, but I delivered it in one day, and I think I really hammered home the concepts pretty well, because you know, I'm just concerned that people really understand what's involved in shadow work. You know, I don't want to speak for almost 9 hours and then people come away with not a clear understanding of what's involved with it. And I think I did a pretty good job at that. Hopefully, at least, I believe that I did. And it's going to be, basically prepared for, flash drive and DVD, and then of course the web. So it'll get out to the public. And I'm just glad that I got this one in the books because, again, it's something that I've been wanting to do for many years. And, now it'll be something that is out there to the public, permanently so that people can learn from it. So if you want to explore anything more regarding that or have any questions about it, feel free to go right ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that's great. That piece of content, it's like a book on the shelf for anyone who's curious. You talk in What on Earth is Happening, like I mentioned, you've almost 300 episodes and you bring up self-work quite a bit, shadow work, and I think people, like you're saying, often misinterpret what that means. And I think one way for us to bring that around for the sake of this show, in case people haven't thoroughly watched your podcast or they haven't taken in the natural law seminars, maybe you can explain the connection between freedom and self-work, shadow work, and how are those things connected and why are they so integrated and important?
Definitely. This is definitely a concept that I explored in the shadow work seminar because I think the alleged freedom movement, the so-called freedom movement, what I unfortunately call the my freedom movement, because it's not about freedom for all. It's about what individuals want freedom and how they want certain forms of freedom for themselves and don't really care about injustice and iniquity taking place in our world for other people and in other places in the world. And it's devolved into a very selfish alleged movement. And I say alleged because it's not moving anywhere. It's stagnant. And that is because people don't understand the aspect of spiritual work that has to be involved in it. The people in the so-called freedom movement and what I now laughingly call the bum fight. I literally call it that. I call the freedom movement the bum fight because it really is people who are not achievers. It's people who are really half-assed people. They're people who, don't want to hit the bullseye. They don't really want the deep understanding and they don't want to go on a deep dive. I find before I even get into the dynamic that the question was about, I find that the modern freedom movement is very childish. They don't want to really explore the real underlying causes for the loss of freedom in our world. They're not interested in that. They are external lookers. They want to look to external factors. And when you ask people within this alleged movement, which, I wish it was a real movement. I wish it wasn't a wishy-washy ragtag group of people just thrown together because they see some bad things in the world. They don't understand the causal factors for why any of those things are really occurring. And more than that, they absolutely have zero clue of what the real solution is. And I say solution because the solution is singular. And, that's what the question goes to. How is this form of self-improvement called shadow work going to translate to a greater degree of freedom in our world? Will it do that? And if so, how? And the answer is it is absolutely essential and 100% intertwined with freedom and can never be separated from it. That's how crucial and critical self-work, especially shadow work, is. So for people unfamiliar with the general concept of shadow work, I always like to just give basic working definitions. So shadow work is, if it's done correctly, if it's approached correctly, if the concepts are understood correctly, and then if it's done correctly methodologically, then this is what it really is. Shadow work is a set of concepts and techniques for self-improvement regarding the perceived worst areas of a person's internal makeup as a human being. And they can be genuine in their inadequacies, these aspects or dynamics of the personality or of the self, or they can be imagined. They can be perceived inadequacies or detriments. Part of shadow work is first really looking at conceptually what needs to be done and why it needs to be done, and then looking at these shadow areas of the personality, these dark aspects, these most uncomfortable aspects that we usually do not want to look at and usually stay nested at the level of the subconscious mind, which stores and records all this data far more than the conscious mind does. But we really don't see at a conscious level because we don't do the work to dredge that material and bring it up to the conscious level. And that's really what shadow work is. And it's a series of introspective techniques by which one has to be brutally honest with the self and not cheat, not go easy on oneself, not lie to oneself. These are deep concepts within shadow work. And, you know, I just feel that the freedom movement doesn't even want to look at these things. I have literally spoken to many, many, many individuals within the freedom movement regarding this general concept of internal spiritual work. And most of them really don't take it seriously at all. I've literally heard the concept. I have heard the words spoken aloud. The word consciousness is meaningless to me. I've heard this term. I've heard that spoken from someone's lips to my ears. Okay. I have heard, I'm not interested in doing self-introspection and self-work. I basically don't focus on that. That's not something that I'm interested in at all. I'm interested in the external factors of how freedom is being removed from people of the world. And they literally, literally cannot see the connection. And here's the connection, which goes specifically and directly to your question. Freedom has a very direct dynamic that is the driving force for whether we experience greater or lesser amounts of it in our lives. There is a dynamic at play in the universe that actually is a deterministic factor at a profound causal fundamental level. For if an entire species becomes a species that enjoys freedom for themselves, or whether they go deeper and deeper and deeper into tyranny, totalitarianism, bondage, and ultimately total enslavement as a species in the aggregate, not just as individuals, but as an entire species, a race of beings. And I have asked this dynamic of the freedom movement over and over and over and over again. I mean, repeatedly, over so many times I can't count, to people within the freedom community, the alleged freedom community, the My Freedom Movement, or as I jokingly call it, the bum fight. I've asked people within this so-called community or movement, what is the driving dynamic factor? What is the governing dynamic of human freedom? Is there one? And if so, what is it? What is the factor in human life that needs to be changed above all else if we are to become free beings and get out of the form of tyranny and enslavement that we're currently living under, known as government, which is violence, which is people thinking that they own other people as property, which is people making commands upon other people's behavior when they have no right to do so. It's the idea that authority is morally legitimate when it's actually the claim of ownership over other beings. Again, to even understand the concept of what I'm going to talk about, you have to understand the illegitimacy of the claim of authority. The claim of authority is the claim of ownership. When a king claimed authority over the people in his lair or his domain, he's basically saying, I own your behavior. I get to rule your behavior. I get to say and determine what your behavior must be or must not be. If you are usurping and taking away the free will of another being, you're making claims on tons of things. You're making claims upon people's free will behavior. You're making claims over their judgment and decision making. You're making claims over their body and what they may or may not do with it. And you're making claims over their life. There is a word for those definitions of things. And that word is called slavery. And anybody who believes that that's morally legitimate is a rotten human being. You believe that slavery is legitimate if you believe authority and government is legitimate. And if you don't think so, you're wrong. There is no talking to you. There is no further explaining it. If you can't get it from what I just explained, there's something broken in your heart. There's not just something broken in your mind. Your heart's fucked up. And you need to work on that through shadow work. There is a problem deep in your soul, in the internals of your being as a human being. You're broken. And you need to fix yourself. It's not okay that you remain broken. See, this is what shadow work is about. And the dynamic that I've asked people over and over and over again and never gotten answers. Zero times. Not once ever. Okay? Has anyone responded with the correct answer unless they first heard it from me? And I don't take pride in that. I think that is profoundly, enormously sad. That is beyond saddening. I've been using the term for the overall collective knowledge level of the freedom community and where they're at as beings in their understanding and in their real spirituality. I find their state of consciousness mournful. Mournful is what I call it. It just makes you want to just curl up in a ball every single day in a fetal position and cry endlessly. That's really what I feel for this movement. That's what I feel for humanity. It's what I feel for human beings everywhere. They're destroyed for their lack of knowledge, as biblical scripture says. Okay, and I don't take this from any kind of a religious point of view. My standpoint is religion is the factor that stops people from understanding truth and natural law and stops them from understanding real objective morality. So this has nothing to do with religion or religious belief. This is a science of behavior, a science of what you get when certain behaviors are put on display, and a science of how if you want to change the result that you're getting, you must change the behavior that you're emitting. And in order to do that, you have to change your internal state of consciousness. You have to change your mind. Your thoughts must change. When you tell people in this movement that your thoughts have to change in a specific way, it is like you are the devil himself. It is you are the enemy to these people because they are religiously latched on to wrong ideas, religiously latched on to distortion of thought and bad habits and bad ways of thinking. And when the messenger comes along and says, you will never get the result that you seek with this kind of thinking and behavior, suddenly the messenger becomes the bad guy, because how dare you say that you know what the answer is? And this comes from a fundamental lie that they're telting themselves. And I covered this in the shadow work seminar. We'll go back to the fundamentals and get to what the real dynamic that governs human freedom is and how shadow work is connected to freedom inextricably. Okay, but when I'm attempting to explain to people in the shadow work seminar, a big concept is you can't fall into the dynamic that there's no such thing as a correct answer, or it's just all a matter of opinion, or my feelings can govern this and they can guide me only. There is a truth regarding what the dynamic of freedom is governed by. It's not a nebulous thing that is unknowable. This is part of the thing that really aggravates people's ego, because the ego wants everything to be relative. The ego doesn't want certainty. It wants nebulousness. It wants non-clarity. It wants cloudiness. The ego loves uncertainty, cloudiness, and doubt, because then there's always a doorway for an excuse. There's always an out to make some kind of an excuse for why you're not doing good enough, for why you're failing in your performance, for why your inadequacies remain unaddressed, for why all the dark aspects of the personality and one's being just go unimproved. You see, that's why the ego loves relativism. The ego loves doubt. The ego loves uncertainty, and it loves nebulousness and cloudiness. So the first thing you have to understand is answers, true answers, exist to how this all works. True answers and objective reality and truth. It works a certain way, and it is discoverable by human beings. The creator of the entirety of the universe and all of its laws and dynamics did not make everything work according to the function of law, of natural laws in creation, to torment us endlessly with their alleged unknowability. This is called postmodernism, that there's no such thing as truth, that everything is some nebulous, hazy concept that people can either believe with their feelings or not believe. Belief is nonsense. It's religious thought. It's distortion of thought. Not getting down to the actual governing dynamics and causal factors is the actual problem in thought, or thinking that they're unknowable. They are not unknowable. They are knowable through hard work and challenging the self to discover those truths and those dynamics. And this is what the people in the freedom movement don't want. They don't want the responsibility that comes with that hard work and hard won knowledge. They're not interested in that because they want to remain cosmic children who are just saying, well, that's someone else's responsibility to come up with those answers. And that's called religion. And then it's someone else's responsibility to try to deal with the problems of human life and make laws to govern every little behavior. And that's called government. And it's all complete bullshit. It's 100% nonsense from Jump Street, from the very inception, through all the ways that it's carried out, through all the nonsensical institutions that we've set up in our world and in our lives. So when you ask people in the freedom movement, what is the governing dynamic of human freedom? And you could go to any meetup, go to a libertarian meetup, or as I call them, the libertarian meetups, go to a libertarian meetup and ask the people there who are stuck. They're stuck in politics. They're stuck in distorted thought. They're stuck in religion. They're stuck everywhere in consciousness. There used to be an old joke. What's the difference between a libertarian and an anarchist? 6 months. And that's no longer true. If you even said 6 years, it would be a hard sell for me to just believe that. You know, I look at libertarianism as almost a trap. It's a trap movement to get people stuck still believing in limited government instead of understanding all government is violence and coercion and the claim of ownership on other beings, as is all forms of authority. It's just slavery, pure and simple. And if you support any of it, you're a supporter of slavery. And that makes you a piece of trash as a being, right? If the worst thing anybody could come out and say is, I believe in slavery, and I think some people should own other people, and some people should just be slaves and kept as animals. I mean, you have to be the biggest piece of trash walking this planet to actually believe that. And that's what everybody who believes in government actually believes. They just don't really truly understand that that's what their belief system is. They've been inculcated into a religious belief system that is purely satanic, that is purely evil, that is purely based in violence, that is purely based in coercion, that is purely based in slavery. And yes, that is what is true. Don't say no, anybody out there listening, that that's not true. You're wrong. What I said is absolutely factually and objectively correct. You're Thinking, if you don't agree, is simply distorted. You haven't learned how to truly think and how to come up with the correct answers. And it doesn't matter how egotistical that sounds. Some people have understood this. There are people in human history that have understood this since time immemorial, since human beings have existed as a species. Okay? And for you to say, no, nobody can know that answer, it's your ego. It's your hubris. It's your doubt. It's your nebulousness and fuzzy thinking. It's not the people who have done the homework and have actually done the work to arrive at the correct answer. They're not the problem. You are. Get that straight in your mind and start to unfuck your mind by doing internal shadow work, because your mind is fucked up. Your thinking is fucked up. So when you ask people what it is, they never give the correct answer of what is the driving and governing dynamic of human freedom. They'll always say a million different things. They'll say a million different answers, but they never get the answer correct unless they've heard it from someone like myself first. And the correct answer is true objective morality is the governing dynamic and the driving factor for human freedom and all forms of freedom. And if you don't have morality correct, factually and objectively, you are always going to be sliding into deeper totalitarianism and tyranny and slavery. Because there is a law in the universe that as beings in the aggregate as a species on any planet in the entire manifested 3D universe, display truly objectively moral behavior, those beings as a species in the aggregate become more free. They enjoy greater states of freedom, and then their society and their individuals that comprise it can go on to embody and express more complexity as beings and go to greater states of consciousness, greater states of even technology, greater states of awareness, and then they get to explore more dynamics and more aspects of the universe and of creation. As beings in the aggregate, anywhere in the 3D manifested universe, display behavior collectively in general that is not truly objectively moral and is in fact actually immoral behavior, those beings in the aggregate become less free and become more enslaved and experience greater amounts of shutdown, greater amounts of control, greater amounts of totalitarianism and tyranny and enslavement in their lives as a species. And then their whole consciousness as a species gets shut down, and they are not allowed to develop and express more complexity and greater degrees of awareness and consciousness and go on to explore the universe to greater depths. See, that's how the laws of nature function when it comes to human behavior. And if you don't understand that, you understand nothing about how to generate more freedom in your life and in the lives of your species, of the beings that comprise your species. And the freedom movement, alleged so-called, does not understand this dynamic at all. And they even fight against it. Not only have they not recognized that these are the pre-existing, eternal, fundamental laws of the universe when it comes to human behavior and freedom, they will fight you to the death that it is not this way and that you are wrong and that they have the answer correct, or even they just say, I don't know how it works and that's good enough. Well, guess what? It will never be good enough. It will always be slipping into a more and more steep slope towards slavery for as long as people don't understand that dynamic. And just to complete the thought, how shadow work fits into that is it is about the individual betterment of the individual units of consciousness that comprise the whole species and comprise the aggregate. So as individuals do self-exploration and self-improvement and shadow work upon themselves, they become better and more moral beings. It's not just about competencies and addressing problems. It's about understanding morality at a much higher functional level that is non-religious in nature, because again, religious morality is set up as a cul-de-sac to get you going around in a loop. If you start here and you want to take this path and get here, okay? You want to take a straight path and get there. What religion does is it takes you around and then it puts you in a loop like this to keep you away from your goal up here, okay? And how it does that is it feeds you false notions of what moral behavior versus immoral behavior actually is. And then if that becomes hazy, nebulous, or confused, the beings that comprise the society that latch onto that distorted religious thinking are unable to separate false notions of morality from true objective morality that get you to freedom. So when you do shadow work, you get clarity regarding this. You eliminate the distorted thinking within your mind. You eliminate the inadequacies within yourself to the extent that you are able. There's no such thing as perfection within this, but you get better and better and better and better at it until you have a very clear, non-distorted understanding of true morality. You're embodying that in your life truly, and then you begin teaching it to others so that that idea can spread out to the entirety of the species and we can make progress toward the goal, which is true freedom. That is why shadow work is so important when it comes to the dynamic of human freedom.
Absolutely. And boy, do I feel the pain and the frustration. I've heard you speak on, as I've listened to your podcast over the years and your shows, I more and more understand the frustration that you've gone through looking at the community. That's a stagnant pond. What we need is a flowing river, an ocean torrent of That's people right. speaking about these topics and bringing them in everybody's face, because what we have in the world right now is an abundance of lies and dishonesty all around us, to the point where the average person is interpreting lies as truth.
That's right.
And that is evil. You know, and something that you've done a really good job of explaining how stealing, all these forms of stealing, that's what evil is. And,
Deception.
Stealing is, the truth, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you keep truth away from people, they're never going to understand natural law. They'll never understand true morality, and they can't be free. I mean, so that is a fundamental dynamic of evil. You know, if evil is the destruction of freedom, and it absolutely is that, no doubt, no better definition as far as I'm concerned. That's what pure evil is.
Phrase.
It's the usurpation of free will leading to the destruction of freedom. One of the best ways of doing that is keeping truth away from people through feeding them lies and deception. That's why deception is a transgression against natural law. It's one of the immoral behaviors that we can do that is actually a form of theft. It's thieving the ability to recognize truth by putting a bunch of noise into the signal and falsities into the information so that people just never arrive at an accurate understanding of how the dynamic of freedom works. So it is absolutely a part of evil. Yes.
They're constantly in the state of dissonance, of disagreeing things, and start to think, oh, I can never make sense of it. But what I really like about what you talked about in the seminar is pushing through that, you know, finding the will, finding the persistence to not just let that, not just let the default happen. And so I did a presentation in Funnel 4 called How to Willpower. And what you're talking about got me thinking a lot about willpower, because even like you said, in the supposed community of truth seekers, and I've met quite a few people who actually have studied your work or and some of the other work that I would recommend to them, they get the basic concepts, and yet somehow they've missed the wisdom is action part of this. And that's one
right.
of the, most wise, profound things that you've ever said that I repeat all the time. Wisdom is action. So I guess my question to you to help illuminate this for people, there's a lot of people out there that do actually get this stuff, that aren't stuck behind that religion sidetrack. Okay, how do they actually develop the willpower to start doing something about it? Yeah, one thing to work on the self, but do something that helps everybody else and the whole humanity. You know, that's the big step that they're not getting. Yeah.
Great question.
Speak on
and,
that,
you know, that is the disconnect, is action. You know, people can know what the answer is. They can even have their feelings in congruency and alignment with their knowledge. But if you're not taking right action, do you really know? You know, can you really make the claim, I really truly know, if you're doing nothing to implement the solution in your life? You know, I put in the shadow work seminar this great quote from the philosopher Yang Ming, Eastern philosopher from China, hundreds of years ago. And he basically said, to know and not to act is not to know. You know, that no truer words were ever spoken. I mean, you're just making a claim of knowledge if you're not actually putting it into practice in your life. And all these concepts were explored in the shadow work seminar. Like, why is action so important? You know, as you said, that's what real wisdom is. Wisdom is doing the right thing with what you have come to know and understand. Wisdom is not just knowledge. That's why in the trivium process, it's separate and distinct from the knowledge step of the trivium. The ancient trivium, or the truth discovery methodology, was knowledge first, then in the middle, understanding, and then at the last stage, wisdom. This is why all spiritual, mystical, mystery traditions have always three basic levels, three basic stages for initiates into the tradition, because it's based upon the trivium methodology of the ancient world. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is the foundation. That's the information and the building blocks, the grammar through which we understand how our reality is structured and how it works. Then understanding is in the middle. When we process all of that knowledge, all those building blocks of data, we arrive at an accurate understanding of it. So those are the mental processes. You gather the data, then you pour through the data and you weed out any logical inconsistencies through a process of reason and logic, and you arrive at an accurate understanding. But that's not the end. That's the intermediate stage, right? Gathering the information is the first and preparatory stage. Understanding what that information all means so that you get it clear in your own mind and your own mental processes, that's the intermediate stage. That's not the be all and end all. That's not the end. The last part of the trivium process is, now what are you going to do in the world with that knowledge and understanding? Are you going to do the right thing? Are you going to just squander it and let it go to waste and not do anything with it? Or are you going to do what is necessary and what needs to be done? Are you going to fulfill your moral obligation and do the right thing with that information by sharing it with other people openly, widely, freely, fearlessly? This is part of the big problem why people sit on their ass and do nothing. They're stuck in fear. And shadow work is a process of unlocking fears, of getting to what the root causes for your fears are, and then telling yourself, this is a bullshit story. This is just an excuse. This is just you telling yourself a false narrative so you can stay stuck where you're at and be comfortable. You know, and let's face it, let's just be honest. That's the shadow work process, to just be brutally honest. And sometimes you just got to tell people, you've been a coward. You've been lazy. You haven't developed your willpower. You've stayed inept. You've stayed without skills. I told people in the shadow work seminar, just as a brief aside, when it comes to stuff like this, when it comes to not developing the willpower to develop necessary skills, there were people who took the shadow work seminar, who enrolled and said, yes, I want to be there all day for your seminar. And when I glimpsed aspects of their personality through having to interact with them because of problems that they put me through in the way that they did things, I can't believe that some of them lived long enough to arrive at adult age, that they weren't the recipient of the Darwin Award and did something so stupid that they checked themselves out of this life far earlier. And I don't know how else that's a horrific, horrible thing to have to say. And I really want to hammer this point home, because even the people who say they want more of my work have such little life skills. So they're so low on the understanding of how things work, how to do things, what good methods and habits are. God help them, do they need this information and they need the seminar that I provided. But I'm like, I don't even understand how you interact in daily life as a human being with the level of skills that you're at. It's like you were just, you just popped out of the womb yesterday and you're looking around like confused, like, what is this place? Like a baby. And I'm saying this to people who have supported my work because I have to. I do not understand the concept or the process of actually sending money electronically in the year 2025. It's just like, oh my God, this foreign concept. How do I do it? Do I use this? Do I use this straw? Is a pen involved in some way? It's so childish. It's unfathomably unbelievable to me. And this is what the social engineer class has done to human beings. It has literally kept them at the skill level of an infant child. And then again, then you say this and you're suddenly evil. You're the bad guy. No, wrong, incorrect. I'm not the bad guy for saying that. You know who the bad guys are? The people that help put people in that state of consciousness and the people for buying all the lies and staying in that state of consciousness and ineptitude and non-competence and fear, quite frankly, and laziness. Because, oh, this is a new skill I have to develop. I don't want to do that. I want to stay in my comfort level. And the real bad guys are the people who never told them you're a child for displaying behavior like that and thoughts like that. That's who, not the person who told them, not the petty tyrant, which is a good thing. Petty tyranny is actually a good thing. It doesn't mean political tyranny. It doesn't mean actual tyranny in life. Petty tyranny is a term that means you're going to get on somebody when they've been a failure for a while. And then you're going to say to them, some people have called it well-intentioned bullying. Some people call it petty tyranny. Okay. It's not the actual coercion and usurpation of someone's free will. It's riding their ass. It's getting on their ass and riding them about what they have failed at repeatedly over years and years of time. It's not like beating up somebody and being demeaning to them the first time they try something and then they don't get it right. That's not what it is. That's not what I do either. People have accused me of that, and I do not do that. I get on people when their growth curve looks like this, 100% flat line, and it goes nowhere over time. It does not ascend over time. I don't get on people who make even little improvements over time, and they have a very non-steep, shallow growth curve over time. I don't get on people when that's their growth curve. Show me a little bit of progress over time. And you know what? As long as you keep going in that direction, beautiful, wonderful. That's the answer. But you can't flatline it. You can't show me no growth over time. Then I'm going to get all over you. That's what a good teacher and coach does. It tells you if you're hitting the target or not. If you're an archer and you're not hitting the bullseye, you're not hitting the target ever, you're wildly missing and you're not making any progress, the coach should get on top of you and be like, hey, you're not practicing enough. You're not performing this technique correctly. You're not taking this seriously enough. You know, that's what I explain to people in the shadow work seminar. That's why so few people want to hear it. The freedom community does not want to engage these dynamics because what comes along with it is true personal responsibility, the true development of willpower and wisdom to do the right things that are necessary with what you have come to know and understand. And they're nowhere near that level of willpower. They're trapped in distorted thought. They're trapped in laziness, and they really don't want to do the work, the internal work to become better and to develop skill sets. See, this is what people have to do. This is what goes on in the entire freedom community. They're skill set deficient. They don't believe that they have to learn how to do new things. And specifically, they have to learn modern technology. And people will say, that's odd. That's a strange thing to say. Every single thought that can be spoken and communicated and put out into the world and archived for future posterity is going to come about through some form of software and computing technology. Every single thing I have ever spoken that has been preserved for anybody to hear later on at some future point, if they do encounter that work, has been processed through technology and done through some kind of a computer and a system of technology. Technology is a component of the solution, which is telling people true objective morality under natural law, explaining to them what real moral behavior is, what rights are, which are actions that do not initiate harm against other sentient beings, and immoral behavior, which is behavior that does initiate harm against other sentient beings. This is what needs to be communicated. True objective morality. And if you don't understand technology and developing skill sets are a component of that, it's not the entirety of it, but it's a necessary component. And you're sitting there with your thumb up your rear end, not developing your own personal skill sets to be able to utilize technology to amplify your voice and get it out there into the world and archive your message for future generations. You're not doing what's required for human freedom. You're just lazy. You're just cowardly. You're just not developing willpower. You're just not developing your skill sets. And the freedom movement is an absolute case point example of people like that. They're not doing those things, and they believe they're going to achieve good results. They are going to get more and more and more of the same tyranny and enslavement until human beings are either extincted or are turned into 100% functional slave robots. And either one of those things is a basic hell. Okay, it's a hell result. It is a chaotic and torturous result. And that's all they're ever going to get. That's all they can ever receive under the laws of creation until they change their thinking and behavior. And once again, when you tell people that, you become the bad guy. You're not the deliverer of good news to them, because you're saying, hey, this is within your power and it's within your ability to change it if you work hard enough. No. You're the bad guy for daring to tell those people that they're not doing good enough and that they're failing in their stated mission to receive more freedom. That's their stated goal. And then you tell them what you're doing is like taking the water from a hose that you've attached to your sink, and you're spraying the hose directly on a pile of laundry while saying, I want this laundry to dry. You are doing the exact opposite dynamic of what will lead to the actual intended goal, which is to dry the clothes by pouring more water, the opposite polarity upon them. And this is exactly what the freedom movement is doing at large, as a whole. They will not listen to wisdom. They will not listen to reason. They will not listen to logic. They will not listen to people. Many people who have discovered what the actual laws of creation that lead to freedom are, and they think they know better in their hubris and ego. And when you tell them, no, I've put down that hubris and ego. I'm the person. I am one of the people who has put down that hubris and ego. And just because I'm telling you it does work a certain way that is discoverable and that many people throughout human history have discovered, does not mean I'm the one in hubris and ego. The people who will not listen to that solution, they will not even entertain it. They will not process it and follow that to see if it holds truth. They will not engage in that dynamic at all because they already think they know better. They already think they have the solution or the answer in hand, and they know nothing, and they have no solution in hand. And then they'll actually say to people like myself, you're egotistical for telling people you have the answer. No, I'm not. I'm just being honest and truthful like I always strive to be. And if you don't like the way that comes off, that's your problem. That's not my problem. I've put the homework in. I could show you the data from the homework I put in. And if people really saw the amount of data that I poured through, it would almost make them pass out. This is not empty rhetoric and just posturing. It's not me saying something. I've gone through so much data that I've actually looked at it. I've gone into my library and looked at the amount of data that I have amassed, not just physically through books, but digitally through the archiving of information that I've downloaded from the internet since like the year 1995, okay, or even a little bit earlier in some cases. The amount of data that I have gathered And I've said this on my podcast, and again, it's not bragging. It's basically telling people, if you really want to be sure and you want to eliminate all doubt and nebulousness, this is the homework you need to do. And then people will be like, I need to go through as much data as you did. Yeah. Yeah. That's what confirms it. That's what corroborates it. It's like cryptocurrency, right? If you want the transaction to be verified, you got to put the whole ledger out there, and then people have to come in, and there's got to be a general consensus through data verification. And it works the same way. That's how the blockchain ledger works. It's the same way when it comes to knowledge about true morality, natural law, and the dynamics of human freedom. So the freedom movement has been an abject failure at this. They want to crucify the messenger. They are stuck in this idea of postmodern thought, by which there's no truth and everything is gauged through feelings. There's no objective truth or reality. It's solipsism is what, that's what all postmodern thought and new ageism actually is. It's solipsism. It's the belief that only your consciousness can ever be truly real. Everything outside of yourself is some nebulous, hazy illusion, and truth can never be known. There's no such thing as objective truth. It's all relative, and most of all, it's all relative to how you feel. And that's there can't be any greater satanic lie, satanic illusion, and satanic evil than solipsism and postmodern thought. And that's where a lot of this movement is trapped, because it's absorbed into them osmotically through a process of the mental osmosis virus. You know, it's absorbed into them from the community, putting pressure into their mind. And it's pressure from above and below. And they have just not refined their thoughts and worked upon themselves to really understand the truth discovery method. That's why the freedom movement is going nowhere. And once again, all they try to do is crucify the messenger who's trying to help them reach that goal.
I loved in your seminar how you would make these statements to give people an example of the process one might go through to discern, you know, truth, honesty, to ask yourself these real hard questions. And you had lots of them where you would just lay down this question, am I doing work that's, you know, helping others? You know, like that might be one of those simple questions. And I like what you were just describing about, you know, becoming a mentor for others, you know, being that one that speaks up like the coach, even when you have to say something that's hard to say. But I think what I've noticed a lot is people haven't developed that internal coach for themselves, because yes, a lot of times in the world, no, people I've met, they don't know a single other person that gets this stuff. And so somehow people have to develop this internal process of becoming their own director. And I think even when people recognize that, yeah, authoritarianism is a religion, they're still caught in the throes of that thought process of always looking to someone else to be the leader authority. They can't be the authority inside of themselves to make these decisions and to snap that whip and feel like, even though you're depressed today, we need to get up and do some work. And I think in that, there was a particular slide that you shared that I was just going to ask you the next question about.
Sure.
Having to do with pathology and the acceptance of pathology. And I think that's a big part of what I see going on there. And I see it in myself, don't get me wrong, but I call it out when I see it. That internal part of myself, there's like a Mark Passio Chris guy in my brain that's like, hey, are you being honest? You know, and then I'm like, let me think about that. So maybe you could talk on that a little bit, the internal pathology and becoming our own.
Chris, I love the question. It's so important. And as you said, this is everywhere in our community, everywhere. People normalizing pathology. And that's one thing you cannot do if you're going to self-improve. It's one thing you absolutely cannot do if you're going to do shadow work upon the self. As you correctly stated, shadow work is about coaching the self to betterment. And in doing that, you have to know when to crack the whip. You also have to know when to back off with the whip. You have to know when to give harsh words to the student aspect of yourself, when the teacher aspect or the coach aspect has to say, hey, you're not doing good enough and you're making bullshit excuses and you need to clean your act up, you know? And even if these other factors are present, doesn't matter. You got to push through them. And one of the things is people want to just say, I'm broken and it's unfixable. And there's almost no state that actually embodies that in reality. Almost none. I'm not to say there aren't any, because let's face it, once something is physically damaged badly enough, it may not return. Like you let your glucose levels go off so badly that you have such bad neuropathy that your foot starts getting gangrenous and it has to be amputated. And this happened to members of my family. Like, you're not going to regrow a foot, right? You might be able to get a prosthetic and then do the same things you used to do at some point with a lot of training and hard work and rehabilitation. But, you know, the foot's going to be gone, right? So yes, there are some things that can't be recovered, but the mind is very plastic. I explained the general concept of plasticity of the mind and the brain. It can come back from almost anything, almost any abuse, almost any trauma, almost any distortion. It's amazing that the healing properties that we have been gifted by virtue of just being beings in nature and being in this body, this vehicle, they're amazing. They're unbelievable what we can recover from. And to just say, I'm sick and there's no cure, is ridiculous, especially when it comes to mental imbalances. You can call it mental illness, but it's mental imbalances usually brought on by some form of trauma or some form of internal abuse or damage. And we can't let go of that. We make it part of our identity. Okay. And what we have to do is do shadow work to realize this is not our identity. It's not who we are as a being. It's an event or a process or an experience or set of experiences that happened to us. And this is what people, they confuse it. They make everything their identity. They want to latch on and belong. That's really, shadow work is about de-latching from the collective. It's about not worrying about belonging. If you want to belong, belong to the whole process of truth and freedom, okay? But belong to agape love, which encompasses everything. It's the generator of everything. True care. If you want to belong, come into the community and the dynamic of true care in the universe. That's real belonging. All real belonging stems from that. Okay. Not being part of an institution, a worldly group, even a country or a political party or a job or a religion or even a family. Real belonging. And I'm not knocking the family dynamic. I think that's extremely important in our world personally. I think it's sadly neglected. That's a whole other podcast. That's a whole other 9 hour and 8 hour and 53 minute presentation. But to go back to the concept at hand, people have to really dig deeply within themselves to drudge up all of those weaknesses and inadequacies and be their own coach and say to themselves, I'm not doing well enough in this regard. It needs improvement. Then the methodology for improvement can then come. I waited until probably definitely almost over halfway to get into the methodology, about halfway, okay? This is how long the preparation and the understanding of the conceptual ideas is for shadow work. You don't just rush in and try to do the technique. If you're doing that, you're doing it wrong. You have to really grasp the concepts first. That's why I said, concept is king. That's part of what I teach in How to Become the True Media. If you don't understand something completely or near completely at a conceptual level, it doesn't matter what techniques you try to do. They're all going to be awry. They're going to lead you awry. It's going to not work out well. It's going to come out awful. Whatever project or endeavor you're attempting to do or goal you're attempting to reach, you have to understand it conceptually first. And this is, again, what people don't do. They skip over that natural process. They think they're going to arrive at accurate techniques before they have accurate understanding or even have the data that they need. So not normalizing pathology is one of the biggest parts of this. And that's why I covered that concept early on in the seminar on shadow work, is because this is what people do. They say, you know what? A trauma happened to me earlier in life. It brought on this completely aberrant mindset or behavior. It has created a lot of suffering and problems in my life, but I'm going to just look at it like That's just how I am, and I'm broken, and it can't be fixed. And nothing could be more untrue. And see, people like it staying like that. And they like it staying like that because if they truly undo the damage, then they will say and witness, I'm largely okay now. You may not have perfect 100% healing because there really is no such thing as perfection. But if you're healed to the extent, that's not going to be a driving factor in my life anymore. I'm not going to let that hold me back. That's not going to be something that I just make excuses about so I can, you know, get out of things easily and I could be somehow absolved of responsibility or of even just being a good functional being in the world, trying to improve and do better. They like the out that staying broken gives them. That's why they don't want to do this work. That's why they'll say, oh, I don't want to look at that hard, ugly aspect of myself. I'm going this way. I'm not running toward that. I'm running away from that. That's why. Because self-betterment brings the necessity for more responsible behavior in life. And people want to remain cosmic children. They don't want those deep personal responsibilities. So that is why it's so important never to normalize pathology. If you're going to become an intelligent, responsible, caring, courageous, and right, morally right acting adult from a physical, emotional, mental, psychological, and spiritual dynamic as a human being, you cannot normalize pathology and just allow yourself to stay in a state of excuse making because, oh, I'm just broken in that way. There's so, so few things that you actually are not plastic enough to improve and come back from and actually regenerate and heal that you can count them on one hand. So not wanting to do that and wanting to continue to normalize pathology is just another form of excuse making not to self-improve and then fulfill the requirements that one must fulfill to get involved in the battle for true freedom.
Yeah, and we live in this world that has like such an abundance of distractions. You know, there's always a billion ways to not get to the thing that's hard to do. Just the other day, I was looking at my list of things to do today, and like the next thing on the list is work on finance stuff that I was on an Excel sheet, and I really wasn't looking forward to that. And my mind goes, you know, my mouse location here doesn't feel quite right. I think I need to build a new shelf for my mouse. And I was like already grabbing the tools to do it, and I kind of did some self work, and I'm like, you're just avoiding doing the thing you're supposed to be doing right now, Chris.
Just an avoidance tactic. That's funny.
But you know, it's like that authoritarian part of myself, my internal authority, needed to step up and be like, we're not going to get this done if we keep getting distracted with things that are more fun or more exciting to do. So I'm always trying to put the challenge to the listeners on the End Evil podcast that ultimately what Mark's message, what my message, all really comes back to you getting to the point where you can take some action to help this thing that we're dealing with, which is reality. And every part of this reality is about morality and what choices we make. And really, you said something that really just hit home with me over and over. You just said it in your last talk too there about care. Ultimately, it has to do with the lost principle of care.
That's right.
And, you know, if we really care about what we've been given, this amazing vehicle of our body and our mind and our spirit that we get to live in, we recognize that with that comes a certain responsibility to do something of value with that self. And so to me, that's where, you know, the last topic I was hoping you could talk about a bit. We have a few more minutes left. The topic of self-defense, you know, I wanted to do a whole episode with you on just self-defense, and maybe we'll do that later, but
sure.
More specifically relating to your presentation and the seminar, you talked about the Tyler, which is something yes. I'd never heard of before. And the Tyler would stand outside of the lodge meeting and basically defend the doors and right. Keep out the riffraff, keep things quiet, and protect the sanctity of the lodge. And so for the sake of our conversation and what I want people to take away from this, what I really mean by this right now is psychological self-defense.
That's right.
People are afraid to put themselves out there. They're afraid to put their name publicly out there and say the things that are hard to say, like government is a form of slavery, because, oh, what if they come back and get me? What if people don't like me? What if, you know, we got to be brave. And that requires a level of understanding the value of what we have to offer the world, and then to defend that. That's so right. That we can actually do that job. And I find that to be one of the more challenging aspects for me, is learning to tile my lodge. And so I was hoping you could talk about that and what that means.
I love the question. It's so pertinent. It's so important. I felt like I could not deliver a presentation of this length without going into at least a couple areas of esoteric symbolism and the occult, because of course, shadow work is an occult concept. It is an initiatory concept that deals with a lot of occult ideas and factors. And, you know, one of them is exactly what you were talking about, a form of self-defense that is actually psychic self-defense, psychological and mental defense against intrusive and distorted and distracting thoughts. This is part of what in all occult work, specifically in shadow work, is known as the principle of indistractability. And this is something that, sadly, evil people in our world, people who are really currently controlling the dynamics of our world and trying to put people into a state of enslavement, and dark occultists and social engineers, they understand this dynamic, this concept, unbelievably well, and they teach it to and deeply instill it and ingrain it in their children, in their youth. It is something that they do continuously, and they consider one of the most important things for maintaining their level of control that they have over this world and tightening it. And the very same principles and concepts can be learned by people with good intentions who do want freedom to be the goal, true freedom, and they can employ it in their lives. So this is known as the principle of non-distractibility. And what it means is, if you're going to attempt to achieve a life goal, an endeavor of some type, you have to remain totally in the present moment and focused. And there are techniques for doing those things. We talked a lot in the seminar about present moment awareness. We talked a lot about getting in the zone and staying focused and practicing concentrative techniques, right? But you also have to allow space to come in so that the mind can bring in new ideas. And if you already have a million things bouncing around in your mind and you can't quiet the mind, you're not going to be in a position to learn. That's why so many people are poor learners. I encounter people in the movement. They're never quiet. They're never silent. And they're not getting out any information, really. They're just waiting to speak, to debate, and to be confrontative and combative. They're not really trying to flesh out ideas and come to an accurate understanding. Often all they're doing is trying to spout existing distorted thought and religious notions. And once again, I don't just mean the cultural religions. I mean like authority is necessary as a religion. You know, I mean like truth is relative is a religion. Things like that, okay? All distorted thought forms are religious thought. Okay, not just the cultural religions of like Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, etc. Okay, that's a concept that has to be clearly understood. Religious is any distorted thought form that interferes with the reception of truth in one's life. So this is part of what people have to understand is, in order to learn, you have to quiet the mind so that it is actually in a listening and receiving mode, as like a vessel, like a cup that can now receive. If I want an entire glass of orange juice in this mug, you know, my old Slim Jim mug from when I was a kid that my grandmother had at her little mom and pop store that has survived probably since the 1980s. Okay. If I want to put a full glass of orange juice in here, This water cannot stay in there, or I'll get a half a glass of really watered down orange juice. So in order to make the space for what I want, I have to first empty the water from the glass. Very simple concept. But people never really think of this when it comes to mental processes and learning. If you're going to learn something new, you can't have a bunch of competing ideas bouncing around in between your ears. You have to learn how to quiet the mind and make the internal dialogue shut the fuck up. See, one of my slides was shadow work requires shutting the fuck up and listening. You're not going to succeed at mental or any kind of self-improvement if there's constant chatter in the brain spreading fear, doubt, misunderstanding, distorted thought, on and on and on. So part of the psychic self-defense that you learn in the shadow work process is you, number one, learn how to quiet the mind. So this is done through the technique of transcendental meditation. Transcendental meditation, or TM, just means you are not going to think any structured thoughts. You're going to let your mind simply not think for a time. And if that becomes slightly difficult and thoughts come in, you focus them on what's known as a mantra, which is simply one thought. So it eliminates all others except the one. And you make it something simple like, I am. That's it, right? I exist, or I think, or I feel, or whatever. You just say one mantra, right? Or you say, I'm simply going to focus on breathing. And then the mantra can become in, out. And just repeat in, out. You could do a billion different styles of mantras for meditating. But what it's doing is it's emptying all other thought from the mind. And you're not going from thought to thought to thought to thought to thought in this weird nebulous haze. And what it's doing is it's just allowing your mind to be and to wait for information. That's how you really learn. If someone's going to really, really, really learn, and they're determined and focused on learning, nothing's going to stop them from learning. They're going to empty the mind of everything else. This idea of multitasking is bullshit. Okay? You don't multitask. Multitasking sets you up for failure at all your tasks because you divide attention, you're distracted by the other tasks, and then you don't do any of the individuated tasks to the best of your ability, to the very best of your capability. So you don't multitask, you focus on one thing, and you empty the mind of all competing thoughts. And I liken this process, what helps solidify this process as a concept is, if we can think about it symbolically, and this is what part of Freemasonry from an esoteric perspective, not just lodge masonry, but true, what they used to call speculative masonry, which is the esoteric side of the so-called craft of Freemasonry as an occult tradition and a collection of occult teachings for self-betterment, because you're building the self into a better vehicle of expression for consciousness in our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions. Again, those three stages being the three stages of main stages of Freemasonry, the entered apprentice, the fellow craft, and then of course the master mason degrees. And then it, you know, goes into further levels of complexity beyond that, of course. But these basic three steps are the stages of the trivium. They are the aspects of human consciousness. And it's all about keeping focus so that you can move yourself toward your intended and stated goal. And how you do that is, and the concept symbolically in Freemasonry is called tiling the lodge, T-Y-L-I-N-G, tiling. The tiler of the lodge is one of the members of the lodge who is charged with the defense of the lodge. And what they're really talking about symbolically in Freemasonry, in the esoteric form of it, is the lodge is actually the mind. The lodge is the human mind, the individuated mind. And the tiler is the aspect of psychic self-defense that waits at the door or the opening to the mind. And the door is locked and the Tyler stands outside of the door so that when the lodge proceeds with its business, whatever that happens to be, the Tyler does not allow intruders into the lodge. You see the allegory. It's wonderful. It's brilliant. Okay. It's saying you have to first open the mind for the reception of the concept and idea by emptying the mind, right? The lodge is first empty before people arrive and show up to do business. But then it receives the individuals. And then a Tyler goes outside the door and says, no more are to enter. And the business of the lodge is being conducted and no distractions or intrusions. That's the principle of indistractability, of not allowing intrusive and distorted thought into the lodge of the mind once the business of self-improvement and moving toward your stated goals has begun. And I find it brilliant, as I do many symbolic and occult traditions, which is why I've studied them over the years and why I teach their true allegorical meanings. And if people can understand that, they'll see the richness in traditions like that and perhaps explore them further. Not necessarily by entering the lodge system. I don't really think that's a truly great idea at the time in history in which we live. I think they're very fallen and distorted themselves. But in studying the tradition from an eclectic perspective, through information that is available to us at our fingertips, through books and videos and lectures, et cetera. And I think if they do that, they'll find it a tremendously empowering from a self-improvement perspective tradition, and find a lot of richness in the allegory and symbol contained therein. So that is my explanation of the concept of tiling the lodge that I covered in the recent Shadow Work seminar. I think it was one of the more powerful esoteric ideas that I explored in that presentation.
Yeah, thanks for that, Mark. It hit hard for me. I've always been a very, how can you put it? I'm a Renaissance man. I build things, I grow things, I have a lot of relationships. I try to do a lot of things. And so yes. It's hard sometimes. I look at a person like yourself and I'm like, wow, Mark is a focused man. And I know some other folks, Brandon Spencer really sticks out for me. He's so focused.
Absolutely.
And I want to become more focused and I've been working on it. So one little tip I'm going to share with people, something I've been working on. Sometimes when I have a half an hour drive or an hour drive, or let's say a 3 hour drive, I'll just choose 1 hour or 45 minutes. I'll turn the music off and just try to keep my mind on one thread of thought and stay on it. And that's actually pretty difficult. And it's something that, just like self-defense, requires practice and training.
That's right.
And so I would challenge people to work on that themselves. If Chris can do it, coming from the distracted guy I am, then you can do it too. And so
it's all about practice. You know, it's all training, about just practicing and just, you know, being honest about your progress when you practice. And just, you know, self-assessing in an honest way. The very first occult dictum in all initiatory traditions throughout human history is, don't lie to yourself. That's it. This above all else, be honest with yourself. That's what the concept above all else, to thine own self, be true, be honest with yourself, is all about. And just gauge your progress honestly. Be your own worst critic, but don't be.
Yeah, call out. You got to call out the lies. Of course. And that's a big part of it. What we talked about, tiling the lodge. It's like, right. Wait a second. What am I saying right now? Am I really? Is that?
Don't
true?
Berate or beat up on yourself too bad. Just pick yourself up and move forward. When you fail, failure can be one of your greatest teachers and lessons, because it shows you what not to do. So as long as you have the idea, I'm going to attempt to remain focused. And I thank you for your comment on my focus. I was not always like that, Chris. That's something that I developed over time, worked at to practice and better within myself. And I think I have done it very well. I've come to a point where I feel like I'm very focused and driven, and I stay on mission.
I try not to let
drama distract me. I try not to let intrusive thoughts distract me, because believe me, look, I'm as human as anybody else, Chris. I am a flawed human being. I some days I wake up, I want to curl up in a fetal position and stay in bed. That's how depressed I sometimes get by the state of our world and the ignorance within it. And I don't let that defeat me. I'll feel it. I'll allow it to be for a few moments and say, there's requirements and there is work to be done. I feel like I am a warrior in that aspect. I try to embody that dynamic as much as humanly possible. And some days I fail at like having the right mental attitude. And I push myself. I try not to push myself beyond the point of like physically breaking and getting sick. You don't want to do that, but
self-defense, right? Like right. Noticing when you're pushing your boundaries.
That's right. You got to crack the whip sometimes. And I try to push myself to meet the requirements that I've set for myself. So I feel like I've succeeded in that type of focus, for myself. And I, just want to say thank you for that. And that's what people have to do. They just have to work at that. That's the development of willpower and true care. And you work at those things over months and years, and you set realistic goals, but you try to stay firm to your goals. You don't lie to yourself that you're making better progress than you are, and you just keep trying. In the Rosicrucian tradition, as I talked about in the seminar, their entire mantra, that their mantra for everything is try. Even if you fail, keep trying. Don't give up. Don't be a quitter. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. Keep trying. Allow yourself to fail. Pick yourself up. Say, that's not how to do it. Let's go find out what the way to do it really is and keep moving forward and just make steady uphill progress. You know what? If people do that, man, there's nothing more that I could possibly ever ask for. It's when they stagnate or reverse course that I have to call them on it. And I've had to call people on it. I've done it in some nice ways. I've done it in so not very nice ways, right? But I couldn't allow myself to say I'm being honest with people if I didn't call them on their nonsense when they're not making progress. So just be honest with oneself. Take it one day at a time. Only compete with yourself from the day before. That's your only competitor. You ain't competing with anybody else. You're competing with the person you were yesterday. Take it from that perspective, and I think people will do fine if they continue to try. So I think that's maybe a nice place to leave
it. Yeah, beautiful.
Your questions were amazing, Chris. Thank you. You explored great dynamics of shadow work here today with your questions. So I thank you for that as well. And thank you for your work.
Appreciate it, Mark. You've been such an inspiration to me. And yeah, kind of last thing I was thinking of saying is, people do tend to say like the things we're talking about or the things that Mark Passio talks about are bitter or negative or hard to hear. But ultimately, when you really think about the message that Mark is giving and that I'm sharing with you folks, it's a very optimistic,
yes,
hopeful message. It's saying we can change things. It's saying the future doesn't
have
to be evil, slavery. The future could be us working together. The possibilities are endless.
Amen.
We can become better people. We can initiate change. We can be part of that change, and we can see some of it happening if we try and apply ourselves. And so I really appreciate that positive message. I don't see you as a negative person at all.
100%, brother. We are not black-pilled. We are trying to explain people there is a way out of this mess. It just requires work. It requires effort. It requires a never-say-die attitude and to keep trying. And we do that, nothing can stop us. If someone has that mental attitude, nothing can stop you. So, amen, Chris. I couldn't have said it any better. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great conversation. And folks, check out whatonearthishappening.com. I don't know anything else you got to announce, Mark. Do you have a seminar?
The How to Become the True Media Seminar. The enrollment is still open until January 1st of 2026. Classes are going to begin early in January and proceed through June. It's a potential content creator technological seminar where I explain all the skill sets that one has to develop to become a content creator and speak publicly on issues such as this and teach people natural law and objective morality. And you will learn all of the very practical real world skill sets in order to do things like what Chris and I did here today. So that enrollment is still open until the end of the year. And I may have in the near future announcements about an upcoming seminar that I'm going to do on natural law, possibly. I'm going to hold that as a surprise in the future, but that's just a little hint. Perhaps I may do that coming later in 2026. I'm going to see what my schedule will allow, what will permit for that year. But I'm going to maybe try to do like a long form presentation each year if I am able to. If not, I'll let it go a little bit longer and maybe do it into the following year. But I may have an announcement for something about that coming soon regarding something later in 2026.
Right on. Well, I'll be looking forward to that. And I can attest to how awesome the How to Become the True Media course is. I've been watching it for quite some time. Luckily, I've been able to show up several seasons, and I've learned so much from your classes, and a lot of the stuff I do now, I wouldn't be able to do at the speed or the ability I have had it not been for what I've learned from your class. So I highly recommend that to folks.
Excellent.
Check out whatonearthishappening.com. Keep your eye out for the Shadow Work seminar being released if you haven't already seen it, because it's super valuable, and I'll look forward to any upcoming
work.
I'll
give people a very brief possible timeline for that. I'm going to shoot for releasing it on my gifts area, What on Earth is Happening, donation gifts in the form of flash drive and DVD set. My goal for that is maybe February sometime, okay? Maybe early February. Maybe I'll do it on February 2nd in bulk or Candlemas, one of the occult Sabbaths of the year or holidays. So maybe. So I'm shooting for early February, and then release to the public, I'm going to shoot for May, maybe May 1st. Okay.
Right on.
So those are the potential dates. I'm not making locked in promises, but that's what I'm going to shoot for if I can meet that schedule. So that's the potential dates for that.
See how Mark sets goals that are reasonable that he thinks he can do and gives right. himself some space. That's what we
not,
do.
Not next Tuesday, but like, you know, a little bit of time. Yeah. Give me time to do what editing I have to and prepare all the artwork and, you know, box it up how I'm going to package it, how I'm going to, and it will get out there. So I want it to happen as fast as possible, but I'm trying to set realistic targets as well. So those are my potential dates. We'll see if I'm able to hit my goals.
Right on. All right. Well, I'm taking up a lot of your time today, and it's been super valuable to me, and I know it will be to listeners too. So thanks so much, Mark. I want to let you get back to your one great work and all you do. I really appreciate it, and being part of your community of friends and people that support what we're doing, which is try to work towards freedom for all people.
That's right. Thank you so much, Chris. Enjoyed it.
We'll see you next week, folks. Evil's the destruction of freedom.